This is CliffCentral.com.
All right.
Can you hear me? Where's me?
I can hear me.
Nailed it.
What time does this podcast start, Eric?
I'm not going to do the accents. I ruin it every time.
Oh, you did, eh?
It's a little bit offensive every time, but it starts just now, Uncle Dave.
Thanks, Ryan. You know what happened? I phoned three guests. So obviously, sometimes we've had chaos where we've had like four or five guests at once.
Yes, and then it's a nightmare.
So that's because the reason for that is because I invite five people, knowing that four will cancel.
Yeah.
So today, Alfred Adrian's got a show running called Dating Life.
Yes, and you said he spoke to every single other radio podcast, anyone who'd listen.
Yeah, he's been on, his PR campaign has been amazing, except he's not on this one.
Yeah.
So hopefully he is listening. We could phone him.
Swing him a text.
No, oh, fuck. I can play a message that he sent.
Stop phoning me, David.
No, I just said, like, he said, so we're still on for this morning. So yeah. I said, yeah, cool. If you're in, you put it in. Yeah. It's still on. There's nothing, it's not like we're going to cancel another important guest for you. You've got a show running. You've got a reason to be on the show. You've done your PR. It's at Monte Cassino. It's at the Peter Turin National Arts Monument Festival.
You're a friend of Trevor Noah.
You're a friend of Trevor Noah.
So you fit the brief.
I suppose we all are, if we just knew him.
Yeah.
Did you ever see him?
Were you opened for him. I played the box 2 weeks before he did on that surprise show. So
I wonder if we all just helped him be. Like, we all gave a little piece, like the $6 million comedian.
Yeah.
Piece of everyone. It just went and we all just dropped something as he was born. Like frankincense.
A little part of it.
Myrrh, gold. Yeah. We all gave him something
to
be, so that he could become. So anyway.
So Alfred not coming?
Well, this is confusing. Are we still on for this morning? Yes, yes, we are. If you want to come, then please pull in. Okay, I'm in the mood, but I have no car. Then don't say, are we still on?
Yeah. Was he subtly trying to get a lift, maybe, and you just weren't picking
you can't
up?
I say.
Mr. Levinson, no, man, I was going to make a plan, but then I was going to have to pay for an Uber. And as you know, comedians are broke things, so I was like, if you have other guests, then great, I can come and have a car.
Does that not sound like Joey Rostein?
I don't know their voices well enough to.
It sounds like Joey. So anyway, that so what we're saying like is obviously coming, the show is doing well. So I wonder if he never had a car for the other interviews that he went to.
Miraculously.
Yeah, he just appeared at those other ones. He was there at 5FM, which is in Auckland Park. And I think he lives around the corner here. Lives in.
I was going to say, how far away does he stay?
I think he lives in the west somewhere.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, if it's a 25 rand Uber, then we feel really special.
Yeah. We also found out that playing music on a podcast, you have to pay some dude somewhere in the sky.
That's bullshit. I mean, what you're saying
it's not bullshit, Ryan.
The concept is bullshit.
So you had an let's call it a breakthrough, comedy breakthrough, and you felt that it was something, a point where you could reference 10 years from now, you can go, something changed.
Yeah, you know what? Coming on this podcast and getting to talk to these established comedians and them giving advice actually landed up being useful for me very practically.
Really.
They came when Robbie and Luiso.
It's not our intention for this podcast to have any relative information for you and your business.
Yeah, but when Robbie and Mendinga were here, that episode, I just listened to their advice. And, you know, they said, you know, don't start with a rape joke, which seems obvious. And I don't have any rape jokes, but the concept. So,
let's cover that with anything to do that's physically offensive.
Yeah.
So whether like the one guy said that you were shagging your dog or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then your mom walked in while you were masturbating.
I mean,
call him the R word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They read it R.
They said get the audience on your side. And I've had a break from comedy for a while, for whatever reasons. So Monday came back with a fresh 5 minutes, taking all the advice on board and at Poppy's. And it went really well.
Much like what they do at church. They say, has anyone had a good experience? Yeah. Then you stand up and you say, like,
I've had a positive experience.
I felt so good, man. Then you did. You felt the vibes.
And actually, I enjoyed it because usually it's
so
just
that means
a lot
I would that advice is real because I'm not a fan of giving advice.
Yeah.
Because as an older comedian, I did this by watching other comics.
Yeah.
I didn't phone Chris Rock and ask him for advice. I watched him. I saw a thing that he did. Then I noticed a pattern that he was doing exactly what you were saying. he comes on obviously with a massive following. So we already know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
People don't know who you are. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with doing the first 3 seconds of your thing saying who you are.
Yeah.
I don't know why comedians don't do that.
It seems very obvious.
You come on, please welcome. First of all, the host said your name really badly.
Yeah.
Fact, they said it badly. They went like this. Dave Levitin! Yeah. So the people think my name's Dave Levitin. So I say my name again.
Yeah.
I say my name a few times before I start doing comedy. Maybe make a joke about your name, say a thing so you hook. These are all hooks.
Yeah.
Then... But those are things that I didn't realize that you had to tell someone. But when you see someone doing things, you say, why are you doing this? That's not comedy.
Yeah.
I did The Worst Guys last night at the very, very lucky venue. Did you do it?
Yes, I've done it a few times.
The venue's nice.
Yes. It's like a pizza restaurant.
Yeah, it's got no pillars in the way.
Yeah.
The tables are close. It's intimate, Las Vegas-style comedy venue.
Yeah, it has potential. It really does.
But for summer. I think, and also they need to get the microphone stick. What do you call the thing that goes in the microphone? Yes, Ryan. What do you call the thing that goes in the microphone?
I called the core of an apple the stick, so not the stalk of the apple, the stick, so.
What's the thing that goes in the microphone?
The cable, maybe.
No, the cable's attached to like a thingy. The penis. The in.
Okay, well, we'll circle
the thing
back.
Of the microphone. No, I'm stuck there now.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of an episode.
Well, luckily we have Google. You know what's nice? Google's so cool. Doesn't do what I do to my kid. So if my kid says to me something, I'll be like, oh, come on, man. Don't be so fucking stupid. That's what it is. Yeah. So no matter how stupid you think you are, Google's always like, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. What is it that you really want to know? What is the part that goes into the microphone called?
Anyway, yeah, so it buzzes a little
anyway,
bit.
Anyway, you are. Fuck you. We should be waiting for this.
Yeah. So
the microphone's not good enough for that at all.
Yeah.
And you can't come onto music that's Drake. So you can't come on to because you've hyped up the person. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ryan Holiday. Don't come on it.
You used to call me on myself.
That's what I came on
to. That's the only Drake song I know.
That's what I came on to. So I come on to you used to call me on my cell phone. Parts of a microphone.
What song, Dave, what song would you choose to come on to every time like a wrestler? You know, what would be your ultimate intro song?
I'll play it for you now. It's something that has, first of all, mustn't have words.
Okay.
And these things sound weird to people now. We're talking to them saying, get your microphone right. There was a spotlight. There was a pay at the door. I found four things. Spotlight, pay at the door, microphone, and no pillars.
Yeah.
That's a gig. You can do it.
Yeah.
Audience, you need an audience.
Yeah.
Okay. If I was, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ryan Holiday.
I was wondering.
Now you're in the mood. Something's happening. Something's happening.
Oh shit.
Something's happening. Shit. Yeah. And then you'd be like,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Do a little dance.
No, now you're walking on from the thing there. There. That's
yeah.
And then you down it as soon as you get onto stage, you down it. There's no words.
Yeah.
And then but he played music for me while I was on stage. So yeah. I said, you know that there's no audience. There were four people.
Yeah.
So don't think that this is your thing, but I didn't realize that those things were very real. Like, get good music to come onto, get a microphone that the cable thingy doesn't fall out. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, the microphone's a little dodgy.
Well, I now have parts of a microphone, so I know what's what.
Let the listeners know what they've been dying to know, Dave.
What is a microphone?
Okay, not what we needed, but yeah.
Okay, how is sound detected on a microphone? Oh, you know what's happened? I've asked what a microphone is instead of what the thing is. All right, it's called the plug.
Shit.
It's a plug, and you were right, it is the cable, correct? So there's a cable and a plug, and then there's the connector.
Ooh.
So the what was happening was the connector wasn't connecting to the on, and then there's the on-off switch, there's the housing.
Okay, nice.
The housing. But I wonder if you're going to get that, if you take the land as well, you get the housing.
Yeah, you get the housing, yeah.
Okay, magnet, moving coil, diaphragm and a windscreen.
No way. You know a windscreen on a microphone. No.
That's what that metal top part is called, the windscreen. And there you have it, people. Fuck, tell me you don't learn shit on this thing.
Yeah, tell us you don't learn the components of a microphone.
Some have an LCD info screen.
Oh shit, that's
and
fancy.
A battery compartment. That would be the cordless microphone. Last night they had a cordless microphone.
Yeah, it was very much corded.
No, it was cordless because the fucking thing kept falling out.
But then it was an acoustic mic.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you don't need a mic in a small venue like that. You just can do. There were people just sitting there. So it was fine. All right. So I don't know what to do with Google now. We've found enough information. Thank you so much. All right. So those things must happen.
Yeah, so anyway, so the show on Monday went well, and then last night I went to Lloyd's gig at Full Stop. You know, because I'm pumped on comedy, so I messaged him. I'm like, dog, can I get a slot? You know. And
it's like that you actually messaged those words. Dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I talk. And it was cool. It was a vibe. It was difficult. The room was quite difficult, but it was cool to get on stage.
Were there people?
There were people. It was very difficult to start. The second half was better.
Did you go on first?
I was going to say I started the second half. Hey, yo.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. So I managed to pick it up a little bit.
All right. So it's now do you see little things like a great host?
Yeah.
Changes the vibe because they must take the grenade. Yeah. They must see that there's something's not happening.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean do 15-minute segments.
Yeah.
If you can see that the audience feel uncomfortable already, then the time that they're sitting there must be less. So you can actually run a show and say, guys, we're not going to have a break. We're going to do tag team.
Yeah.
We're going to have all the comedians on and off in, how about we do this in 50 minutes?
Yeah.
Then the audience are like, okay, we know what we're in for. But you could see those four people that were there last night, they came there for dinner and they wanted to go home at 10.
Yeah.
And he only brought...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it was George Cooter that hosted last night.
Okay, cool.
And he ran a little long. I like his hosting. It is very confrontational with the audience. Like, he kind of gets in their faces. And sometimes
why does he do that as a host? Do that as a comic.
Yeah.
You can say, I believe in this thing, and this is the reasons why.
Yeah.
And then for the audience to go, no, we disagree with you. You shouldn't have to make it personal.
Yeah.
Like that. Those drunk people at Parker's, I looked at them and I thought, they were saying, yo, you must be funny. I said, well, the guy that's on the poster there is me, not you. You can have your turn one day, but I'm the guy that people come to see.
Yeah.
But you're just being a chop.
Yeah, you're a drunk asshole. It was a little confrontational. It was a weird night, but, you know, still fun. Our friend Robin Dunlop was there.
Our friend?
Yes. Yeah, our friend.
It's quite cool. We're speaking about a Joburg scene now. That's a very much a Joburg thing. The guys you mentioned, George Cuda, Full Stop, and then you went to Poppy's.
Yeah.
I was at... Worst guys on last night Thursday.
Yeah, so that's Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Those are huge. We never had those back in my time. In my
many eons ago.
There was nothing.
Yeah, so this was a good week for me in comedy, Uncle Dave. I'm feeling good. I was sitting on Monday night, talking to Dylan Oliphant and Prince, and I was kind of looking at myself from a third person's point of view, and I'm like, you are nailing this exchange, Ryan. You are making all the lols. So it was a good week for me.
I've plugged in my phone. We're going to phone. I've figured out something.
Okay.
If we had a guest lined up called Alfred Adrian.
Yes.
Who has a show running, and you can go see it. If you're listening to this podcast 3 weeks from now or 2 years from now.
Yeah, you can go see it. It's still running.
It's going to run for that long.
Yeah.
And then Dan Frigoletti is in town. He's on a tour called something.
Comedy's Best Kept Secret.
Tour. Is that the tour?
I think that's the tour. I mean...
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
I know. Because now the secret's out.
What is your name?
Ryan Holiday.
Oh, come on, don't do that. When you find the mail and then it starts downloading mail.
Oh, yeah.
So I had it. I had it right there and then it moved.
Anyway, he's a comic from New York, an actor, a podcaster. I don't know if he's even going to arrive, so introducing him might be...
No, I'm not introducing him. I know that he's working. I'm working tonight at the
Goliath.
It's called Goliath Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And so is he. So he's going to be there.
Oh, okay.
But what I liked was he interviewed porn stars?
Yeah, he's got a...
Is it a podcast?
Yeah, it's a podcast called Porn Stars Are People Too.
Porn Stars Are People Too.
Yeah, and you know, I think he just literally talks to them about everyday things. But they famous porn stars.
Are we trying to find out that porn stars are people too? Did we not know that?
I think a lot of people don't see them as living normal lives.
So they just think it's sex, sex, sex.
Yeah. They're just constantly on that dirk.
But you would... And guy porn stars?
There was a guy in there that I saw. Mick Blue. I'm familiar with his work.
Nick Blue.
Yeah, Mick Blue, yeah.
Mick Blue, everyone.
Yeah. No, blue as in the color.
Oh, no, I know that. I was trying to be funny.
Yeah, so he does, and he's had a few appearances on some big radio shows, and was on Broadwalk Empire.
He was in that.
Yeah, it references. I couldn't find a clip of it, which is doesn't really fit the other things that he's been in, because that's quite a serious show, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that's Dan Frigoletto.
Frigoletti. TT
Frigoletto.
But it would have been nice to chat to him because I like guests. I love it when, and he's from New York, so he's got that the whole circuit there, and he has been to South Africa a few times, so I have seen him. And here's the thing: I saw him, Dan Frigoletto. So I saw him on the first night at Parker's, and he just arrived in the country.
Okay,
and he had struggled.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Is that because he was talking about things that maybe, or referencing things that
that's
we weren't?
All it is. Exactly, yeah. What you said. Now it's referencing. So I'm just gonna go into something here. Now, this is called going into signing in to your stuff while you on your radio show. Do you know how to do this?
Signing into stuff. I mean, broadly. There's something I want to ask you, Dave. And I was chatting to another comic about this week. When an international act comes here and they have an accent, they immediately get more attention from the room, especially if they have an American accent. Have you found that they immediately like, well, you're from America, you must obviously be funny. We're gonna give you extra laughs. We're gonna pay more attention. You must know comedy. Have you experienced that at all?
Google just phoned me. That's how fucked up that was.
Yeah, so I was trying to talk to you and your face was just, I was like, he is not in this room at the moment.
Sorry, have you ever had a phone call from Google?
No, I can't say.
Obviously, I questioned something and it was from Washington, D.C. I don't know if that makes sense. There it is.
I mean, you should have picked up that. That would have been
Washington,
great.
DC, okay.
That is not
States.
A number from this country. That has 20 digits in and three brackets.
All right. Okay.
You should have picked up, Dave, and said you are live on the Just Now Comedy podcast. We could have had a guest.
That was interesting. Okay. Thank you. Fuck you. No, I think I typed in the wrong thing. I typed in 80s porn movie music. It said, verify your age. I'm like, I'm old. I was from the 80s. Okay, jeepers, that was weird. All right, so ask me again.
I was saying, do you find when comics from overseas come here, irrespective of how good or bad they are, yeah, audience here has an American accent? Oh, well, they're from America, they must know comedy, and they give them more time.
Give them more time.
And here's what I
really
say this.
At Parker's, they didn't. They kind of the night was going, and he was on first because he went from there to maybe went to Goliath, so it was open.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Quite." I think we're getting to that point. We're not hassled about the fact that from America they're going to be great.
So, okay.
What it is reference. So say now there's a shop in the States, or a toy, or a something.
Yeah.
And you say, and then I was standing there left with the G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
This country doesn't have G.I. Joes.
Yeah. Okay.
We had Action
all the
Man.
Context that surrounds.
So we had Action Man. So already the G.I. Joe here is a movie with some guys in it, and they can't get it. So the joke doesn't work because the reference doesn't work. So all they had to do is change one or two references. So change G.I. Joe to Action Man, whatever doll we had here.
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know.
What doll did you play with?
Barbie. I didn't play with Barbie, but not that there's anything wrong with dudes playing with Barbies.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so you just got to change your references. I suppose it's like saying, you know, oh, I was at Mr. Price the other day to someone overseas. They don't know anything about Mr. Price and where it sits demographically, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm being called by Google because my device isn't recognized.
Do Google really have the time to phone one random person on a Mac?
I think it's
on
a
Mac.
I think it's a machine.
Yeah, it's the AI.
I think it's a machine. I don't think it's a real person. There we go. Google verification code. Oh my goodness, it's a whole long thing. All right, so if you get a verification code on your thing, jeepers. Okay, thanks, Google.
Is this just for some 80s porno music? Is this?
Yeah.
No, really? That's not efficient.
It's not efficient for you.
Yeah, maybe you were trying to set the mood with a lady. She's left by now.
She's left by now. Thanks, Google. Yeah. My mojo.
Yeah. I paid for an hour. You used up that entire hour.
I've never paid for an hour.
It's simply a waste of 57 minutes worth of time.
So now, Dan Frigoletto also did a comedy show at a nudist thing.
He did.
Was he dressed?
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah, I know this because I saw the promotional image for it, and he was very dressed, and everyone was not very dressed.
But are their faces visible?
It was a drawing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ah, did you still have a wank, though?
That was his... no, I'd wanked just before that, so...
Yeah,
so it was at a weird time in the day for me, yeah.
I call it Twilight. But you're still glowing.
No, I don't.
And you feel like a vampire. You just want to go sleep. You just want to go nap. All right. So this is...
So yeah, that was supposedly his...
Are you okay with this in the background while we talk?
I mean, comedy. It changes the mood.
It does kind of, hey?
Yeah, it relaxes.
Would you like a drink?
Would you like a glass of Pinotage?
So maybe if you listen to this as well in your office environment...
Yeah, maybe we change the mood in your office.
Or at home, maybe you want to just get on down.
Yeah.
With Ryan and Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, give us a call. Tell us what you're feeling.
Why don't you sit on the speaker?
Oh, yeah. Turn up the volume. Let it vibrate.
So this was the stuff we listened to. And who was the guy who came up with this that said, this is cool music for people to have sex to?
I don't know.
I think what it is, it just puts you in a I'm not going to listen to the music. So your senses are heightened that you're going to watch.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had a friend of his is blind.
Okay.
And he took him to teasers as a as a vibe. Just to say to him, like, we're going to a strip club. And you're not allowed to, touch.
No, you're not.
But they let him touch because he's blind.
Oh, so you just gonna now you've got a plan. Now, I can see where this is going, Dave. You're gonna walk in there with a guide dog.
I don't think you're allowed to go with it. I wouldn't go full. You'd never go full.
Full blind.
Okay. So but it's quite a good scam.
It is.
But then you can, you know, when you do that thing, if someone's being blind at the robots or something, and you go like this with your hands, and then if they flinch, then they're not blind. Do you know what I mean? Like you
race it then with your car, and if they jump out the way,
you give them money quickly like that, and if they flinch, then you go
No, never done it.
So that's what I'm saying. They took him there, and they said he's blind, and because he's it's his first time.
Yeah. Ever. That's how he gets to know people. Yeah.
How he gets to know people.
That's how he can see you. Yeah. No, it sounds like a good hustle, Dave. I think
you
should do it.
Thank you.
I know you go to strip clubs sort of bi-weekly.
No, I don't. What's happened recently is I've had no gigs. So I have no, what's that word, money? What's a disposable income?
I don't know. No, I personally don't know.
You don't know what a disposable income is. Disposable income is what you've got left after you've paid all your bills.
Yeah.
And had some fun as well. Then what's left is a disposable income.
No, the disposable is part of the fun.
No, fun is included like in your list. So entertainment, meals, going out for dinner. That's kind of included in your budget.
Okay, so this is purely cherry on top.
Yeah, that stuff. That's the money to throw at something. Drugs, strippers, whatever.
Strippers
on
drugs.
You love. So it's a thing that you indulge in. So you like Lego. You like to go LARPing in the park. That's disposable income.
So Victoria, eh? That's what we're talking about now.
Well, Victoria was there last night.
Oh, yes.
It was quite lucky because...
Oh, yes, I saw the poster.
Yes. Security alert for linked Google account. This is this whole security fucking thing for this.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You can get the most horrific porn on the internet.
And yet, just for the music. You can take that onto this. They're like, why do you want this music? So they've got a whole lot of flags going on. Because obviously ISIS also look for this music to calm themselves down before they go on a mission. That must be terrible. Just before your head gets chopped off, this is the last thing you hear. You know when you learn to play guitar?
Yeah.
And you learn like two chords?
Yeah.
That's
kind of
welcome.
Sounds like this. Yeah.
This actually sounds like some of the stuff that you have on YouTube without the drums. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm going to keep that. I've gone through this.
That's the
major
theme of the show now.
Security system. Okay, the theme of the show is like when you read Dan Frigoletti's CV and stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
So he's got a podcast. So he's come up with a theme.
Yeah.
And it is quite interesting because people will listen.
Yeah.
Because you've only seen that person in that realm. So it is interesting to listen to. What do they do? Do they take the kids to school? How do they deal with dropping the kid at school?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I would listen to that. So that's Dan Frigoletti. I'll spell it for you later. Frigoletti, like you say it, with two T's.
Yeah.
Probably Italian.
Probably Italian.
He's been on the Artie Lang show, which now Artie Lang, I think, was on...
He's on Crashing. He's like a very famous dude, but I think most recently... He was on Crashing, which is a show about a stand-up comedian in New York, and it's produced by Judd Apatow.
And it's him.
He's one of the
So Crashing, obviously, references to crashing on stage, and also crashing with your friends. You've got to sleep on couches.
Oh, yeah, he literally did that. I think he may actually have slept on Artie's couch in...
Artie.
Yeah, in the show.
Artie.
So, Artie. Artie?
Artie.
RTD.
He was on Howard Stern's show. I think he was like one of the comic relief on the back in the background there. Okay.
Yeah, so Dan's been on that. He was on Wendy Williams' show, something like that, which is a talk show.
I did
he
see like the, a little bit of a promo video. He did like. So it's interesting to have a guest that we don't have.
Yeah.
Anything else you've done, Ryan? I'm going to call. I've got an idea, which was to run Cape Town, to talk about Cape Town comedy as well. Durban seems to be missing. They're doing this stuff, but they don't phone us. They don't want to hear about the show. They don't even know we exist. That's fine.
Yeah.
So there is obviously On Fire that does their comedy. Once a month, they have what's called the Durban Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And they do it around about the end of the month, payday. And I think Chris Forrest recently was there, and he said it was fantastic. Go to Amsterdam, go to a few other places, and that's run by On Fire Comedy. So Durban has a comedy scene.
Okay.
And just recently now, the top five, the big five were there in Durban. Do you know about that?
No, who are the big five? Trevor Noah?
No. Kagiso Rediga.
Yeah.
Stuart Taylor.
Okay.
An Indian chick.
No, they're a medium five.
I think marketing is a thing in this country. So the big five were some people. And they did a thing. Comedy. Yeah. So that's... So what I've thought was is phone a correspondent like they do on the news.
Yeah.
So we're the anchors. We're the anchors here on this show, the Just Now Comedy News, because it's supposed to be Eric. But what's happened Eric's now decided that what's important is he's going to spread his wings to Grahamstown. And then it's so weird. It's almost like they're proud of being almost kind of semi... Not homeless. What's the phase before homeless? Like, you know when you move out with your parents and you say, I'm going to go get a job and I'm going to study or something. Yeah, and then you live in a commune with seven other...
A transition dirty period.
The transitional, just before homeless.
Yeah.
That is what two weeks is like in Grahamstown. Because it is. It's 14 days.
Yeah, it's long, eh?
And those last 3 days are longer than long because a lot of people come for the either pre-weekend, so they do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah. So now this is fun because it's again the weekend. But that... Those Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays when you've got your show and then they put you on at 10:30. Like this show. 10:30 in the morning, you got to do comedy. And it's freezing cold outside and there's 12 people and they come there. Then as you start your show, they have a power failure because it's not the most richest municipality. It's in Wakanda or Makanda or something. That's the name of the municipality. It's Wakanda or something like that. And
I'm pretty sure that's the place from Black Panther. But
no, Wakanda's from Black Panther. Hinkandla is where Zuma lived. Okay. Wakanda. No, it's not Wakanda. Hinkandla. Something like that. But it's a terrible municipality. They don't have electricity. So your show will not have electricity. So that's all these things against you, and yet... Eric's gone there, and then he sends photos of sitting in a car with three other people sitting on the couch. But you know what? It's just nice. He's going to grow. We're going to see a young man. We're going to see a man
emerging.
Emerge at this.
He's going to have a scar on his face.
Really?
Yeah, that's that's what happened.
Have you been to Grahamstown?
No.
There's donkeys in the streets, but not just donkeys in the streets. Like you'd think, there's a donkey. Donkeys.
Multiple donkeys. And also, donkeys.
I had a theory that it's one donkey that I see the whole time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're pretty, after your show at half past 10 in the morning, you go get drunk. So you kind of see a donkey, you're like, there's that donkey I saw earlier. Then you turn the corner and he's like, there. No. So what Martin Evans and I did, we went to the crazy store.
Okay.
Maybe we shouldn't be telling people we did this.
Which is shit, Dave. Well, how does the story end?
We didn't, not. We went and bought hats.
Okay.
With elastic.
Okay.
Okay, and if we saw a donkey, we put a hat on the donkey.
Okay.
But it was difficult because they look tame.
Yeah.
But a donkey is quite a rough animal. It's not...
Yeah.
Especially if it's digging in a dustbin.
Yeah, it's a street donkey.
It's a street donkey. It's don't a ghetto donkey, yeah. So to get the hat on the donkey was not easy. But the nice thing is, like a year later, the one donkey still had its hat on. And that says two things.
two important things.
What are those things, Ryan?
One, that no one's looking after those donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, not too sure.
Well, that the crazy store sells fine fucking hats. Because that elastic lasted a year.
Yes.
And it was a lucky little hat. It was like a flat hat with a rim. So it had some sun protection. And then we just folded it around and put it, the elastic underneath his chin.
I think you'd be proud of that, Dave. You didn't.
Well,
you
I think it's animal abuse.
No, it's not.
Because if it could get caught on stuff, it could strangle it. You know, it's terrible.
I mean, if it strangled it.
Yeah, well, the penguins, you know, they don't. Penguins and dolphins, dolphins are the smartest mammal in the sea, yeah. But they're still eating Coca-Cola plastic stuff. You're like,
yeah,
you're
so
not that
smart, yeah.
Really.
I actually never thought of that.
No,
yeah.
Really. Oh, Mr. Penguin, come on, bro. What in the sea, what in the ocean looks like, you know those six holes with the cake, with the Coca-Cola?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What fish is
what
that?
What fish is
a
that?
A six-holed jellyfish, flat
no,
jellyfish.
I think if Michelle is listening, which she is, hey, Dave and Ryan, dodgy connection in my lab.
Oh,
I'll
shit.
Catch you on the flip side, Michelle.
Oh, Michelle.
Wait, I think I need to read that. I'm going to read these messages
the
like this.
Yeah, over the music, Dave.
Hello, Dave and Ryan. Dodgy connection in my lab. I'll catch you on the flip side. Michelle. It was a slow day in the lab.
Yeah. The air conditioner was out.
It was so hot. I had to take my lab coat off.
Which is against the policy of the lab, but I didn't care.
I could see my dodgy connection. It was hard to get in. I wiggled it around. Eventually it slipped in. I could have full connection. I had 3 bars.
Oh, shit.
I had 3 drinks at 3 bars. Okay, let's see if there's more. Oh, shit. What's happened? Google, don't let me down. What the fuck? Does it get to a crescendo at least?
No, Dave. It seems to be the same 3 chords, just.
That was a sneeze. I'm allergic to porn music. Hey?
Oh. Hello? Do we have another SMS? I want to see you do another one,
Dave. Sorry. There's a thing called activity feed, but on this show, it's just a feed. there is no activity. All right, so that's, you know what's nice? Is Deep Michelle has said that she isn't listening, which is nice.
Yeah, so now
it's
we know
it's almost like
that.
A negative message. Like, guys, I'd love to listen to your show. I'd love to come to your party.
Yeah, but we can
but
still
I've
be friends.
I've got a better party.
We can still be friends. That's what Michelle's saying.
Okay. Who wants to be friends with Michelle? Michelle has touched a penguin in a special place.
Are you a penguin?
Are you a penguin? Have you got eggs that need hatching? Penguins mate for life.
Yeah. They give... I don't know if it's all penguins.
All penguins, Ron. Ron, the rules...
That's the penguin credo.
The rules of penguin. They penguin don't change. There are a lot of penguin species. But you know there are no penguins in the North Pole?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, there's no. Well, prove me wrong.
I'm not going to go to Google. Are they going to phone me? It's going to be a goddamn
right,
nightmare.
I think we the first person ever to be phoned by Google. Thank you.
Da-dum.
That means I really got Google. It's a case of just asking the difficult questions. Yeah. Like, what I need some 80s porn music.
Yeah. And maybe the things you've searched before, Dave. Maybe there's context. They're like, enough's enough. We've seen for years he's been Googling this strange shit.
That's quite weird because they think I'm making my own porn. That's what they've tagged me. And they're like, he needs music for his own stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so penguins mate for life.
Yeah.
And Michelle can... Dave, fail back Michelle. Must I read that in porn language?
I want to hear whatever there is on that screen.
The worst
language.
Thing about porn is to speak Afrikaans during porn.
No, it's not a sexy language.
Ek is baie lus vir jou. Ek wil baie graag. No, no. Yeah. Kijk voor mij. Draai om.
Draai. That's so sensual. Draai om.
Ek is gereed. Wat is jou naam?
Ons gaan nou pomp.
Sê jou naam voor mij.
Annika.
Sê my naam.
Kobus.
Yes. Kobus.
Ons moet vinnig maak die bokke speel.
Wat is vinnig maak? Oh, wait. Someone... It is Michelle. Okay, cool. She's now said... she's sending stuff via Telegram.
Shit. That's
is
old
that
school.
A, is that a... Is
that's
that
how
a,
you communicate.
Oh, my
I don't
God.
Know.
How do you send messages via Telegram? Okay, so... We're back. Now we're talking.
No,
yes. So, penguins mate for life.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that all penguins look the same.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter, you see. So there's no spice
yeah.
in the relationship. So you don't have an affair yeah. because you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
There's not like, ooh, that's a nice penguin.
Looks like all the same.
Babe, I'm going to be late from the office. I'm going to be with, you know, the penguins look the same.
Yeah.
So when Gerald Durrell or whoever, who's the other one? Attenborough.
Yeah. I mean, he's the famous one.
And here, all the penguins, they are mating for life. They choose a partner and are loyal to the end. And they also, the dads look after the egg. They sit and they keep it warm. And they take the kid yeah. for their first fishing swim.
Yeah. Did you watch Planet Earth on penguins?
I watched Planet Earth the whole time. It's called,
it's called existing on just, this. It's called now.
I don't watch the Earth though, but the Earth is spinning really fast.
Yeah, it is.
And it's that's weird. So I stopped there. But watch Planet Earth, yes.
There's these penguins that live on this like big rocky outcrop of an island, and then they have to get on and off this island. But there's no like port or ladder, so they fuck off this cliff. And to get back on, they literally have to time it with the waves and like bounce. And then they show the scene of these penguins, and they literally their guts are like falling out. This is what they go through. And I'm like, choose a different island. How good is this island that it's worth like lacerating your? I mean, Michelle will probably know.
Your tuxedo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you only get that one tux.
You get that one tuxedo. Yeah. The thing is, now that you've got a scar, you're probably going to
differentiate yourself. Yeah,
because you can sit there and like you're different. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, look at my scar. I almost died.
Died coming home from work.
The wound's gangrenous. We need to move quickly.
You like to move quickly, hey?
Huh? I do.
Okay, cool. All right, here we go. So, Cliff's gone to the UK on like a tour to get. More information about podcasting and things like that, because the time's come now, because every radio station is doing podcasts, people are interviewing podcasts on their podcasts, so it is a big thing.
A holiday worth an excuse, that sounds
well holidays, but they are going to get us more coverage in the UK, so we're going to get maybe this show, well not today's one, but eventually
we'll go worldwide. So maybe our guests will show up if we like, you know,
I like guests.
So yeah, they're in London doing that show. Why didn't you get invited, Dave? I mean, you're a great face of Cliff Central.
You know who the producer of the porn music is? Lucky Monkey. This is better. All right, so we're going to cross over to our phone line. And it is... So, I don't even know Martin Evans.
Can you give him we've spoken to intro? Him before, hey?
We have indeed. Yeah. If you want a depressed comedian,
jaded, huh?
Angry, cross.
Is he your Jed? Like of similar age, been doing
it for? Same age, sort of 43. He turns 43 next week.
Okay.
Which means, like, he's.
So were you guys doing the open mic? Run we were doing together?
Not together. No, he went. He was overseas doing a lot of work over there.
Okay.
And then came here, and that's when I met him.
Okay.
And it was so funny because he'd been overseas and they had that reference trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Martin Evans, how are you?
I'm all right, I think.
Oh, you think? It's your birthday soon.
It is indeed. What is it today? The 6th? So, like, 2 weeks.
It's so, 2 weeks' time. So, you sort of Bastille Day, round about there. When is it?
20th. The 6 years to the day when man walked on the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. They put a man on the moon.
20 days after the fall of Saigon. I was born 20 days after the Vietnam War.
Jeepers, that's quite those are big things.
Yeah.
But I mean, the man walking, putting the man on the moon has actually fucked up references to every single thing. Like, they can put a man on the moon, but I can't fix my vacuum cleaner.
Hey, Martin, it's Ryan. Just when you hear another voice.
Hey, how are you?
Get in you.
What happened is we invited guests to our podcast, which it isn't important to have a guest because we can still talk shit. It's fine.
We've been doing that for 45 minutes now. Now we need you.
34 seconds. So now we need you. I know that I had you originally to give me an update on Cape Town gigs.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have to say something important.
Well, I could do both, actually, because fortunately, Nelson de Gouveia, look, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of sorts of Cape Town comedy. And I would say... not necessarily unfairly, they had slacked heavily for a good year or two. But
and you're referencing to the guys getting together and forming like a bit of a, not cool,
dude,
union,
you know,
but taking on the big comedy clubs.
Yeah, and someone might say, well, what did you achieve? Unity and communication. And as an example, other than the fact that there's literally about a new gig being announced daily by somebody trying something.
Okay.
There's people setting up weekly gig lists. there's, you know, people are not screwing around. They're doing their homework and making an effort. So, you know, for good or bad, it's like the report card came in midterm and comics were told to pick up their pants.
Pick up their pants.
They have.
And
they
I do know that for a fact because, so let's take WACT management came to Cape Town and said, is there something we can do in terms of the Comic Choice Awards because you guys feel a little bit left out? And
yeah.
It isn't easy because we were talking here and Ryan and I were speaking and then we found that we were speaking about Joburg gigs. You know, we talked about Joburg comics, Joburg gigs, and I said, hang on a minute, we need to actually include South Africa into this and possibly the world. But it was a request from Comics Choice to say, you tell us what you want, Cape Town. And then they have actually made a few changes. But it is hard to work in an office in Joburg, to have meetings in Joburg, to organize the venue in Joburg. You kind of get... And you kind of, not on purpose, but you forget, shit, let's get Cape Town involved. So I think they have. I think it's free free registration for Cape Town Comics.
I think people realize, even like slightly jerky in the back, like where,
yes, yes.
You know, the Zulu King right now is almost talking about pulling out of the country and keeping Zululand for themselves. People joke about the Republic of the Western Cape. You know, there's a genuine isolation to being a part of this country.
Yeah.
If you live in PE, you could be doing a corporate gig a week and no one will ever know who you are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could be the drive time radio DJ and people wouldn't.
That's my trouble. Those are my gigs. No one knows.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean,
I found
you
last night from
PE,
a gig.
But we won't know you in the rest of the country. Yeah.
That's it. So part of getting known, and I find that as well, when the Goliath, if Jason goes to Cape Town, he actually struggles a bit because the people in Cape Town are not Joburg educated. So they have to kind of, and it was a big thing for him because he said, shit, I need to actually start from the beginning here. I can't go on stage on a Slack platform of how you know my stuff. So it was interesting because Cape Town people really don't give a shit either about Joburg. So it was kind of weird on both sides for Cape Town to get their shit together and for Joburg to say, what do you need?
Yeah, I've got I wouldn't say minimum enthusiasm for going and learning about every single person. I've lost a little passion for watching every introductory new open spot. But
when
I look at the list of names that are out there, I feel like I would be a headmaster joining a new school. There's just too many kids in the playground. I wouldn't know their names. And what's happened as well is there's great comics that slip by in that list of unknowns and complete nobodies that you end up hearing about. And you get a very unbalanced view of what's going on.
Okay, so the key is to actually go to these gigs.
I haven't got a clue who's good in Durban. I haven't got a clue who's actually a good comic in Joburg. All I know is...
It's me and Ryan.
Instagram posts I see on a daily basis, whether I like it or not. Do you know what I mean?
So that's true. So
really
then hang on, there was a competition in Cape Town recently. Was it a Savannah-based thing at the Cape Town Comedy Club? They found new talent. Did you have a look at that? Did you see who the winner was? Apparently the top two were great.
Last year, I was one of the judges on it for the night. And there were a couple of surprises. I think there were a couple of surprises this year. Folks who, you know, who've been on like Trevor Noah's Nationwide New Acts tour, but didn't make it to the second round of this competition.
Okay.
So, you know, some bruised egos and some back to the drawing boards and some people who just aren't funny and some who
aren't. How do you feel about comedy competitions? Let's call them that.
Well, if you're new, they're very important. And if you're old, they're not important at all. When I did the UK, that's the only reason I got an initial break in comedy, because when I won the London Comedy Festival's New Act Award out of 350 new spots when I started on my like 13th gig,
and that got me paid work immediately.
And then I like when I won the FHM Holston Pills competition, that was like, you know, agents knew me. The awards and the finals were held as a big thing, and you know, I walked out with a business card and had the same agent as Russell Brand as I had at Concord that night.
Okay,
you know?
so it is important then for a start out.
Huge when there's an industry to support it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if, like, I refuse to go and mention essentially in any future biographies or whatever, like, well, I'll mention it now, but for the context of like the Standard
Bank, that you
have
won.
Award.
Yes.
They, you know, you get an award from Standard Bank based on what? Nothing. They just say you've got the award. You don't get an award. You get a certificate, your name incorrectly spelled, and 50 stickers in the first year. And you go like, hang on a minute. I'm going to mention this forever because there's no way of accrediting your career with some sort of justification. Like, well, if you've won two awards, then therefore you must be legit, right?
Yeah.
But you just, you know, these little competitions, if it just means that Savannah is going to be mentioned as a brand thing, that's great. If there's an actual progression in the industry that can be pushed from these things, then that's fantastic. But there's no point in somebody winning the award.
So where does that guy go? The guy that won
an open spot.
The guy that won that competition now. So I can't remember, I don't know who it is, but what is their next step? So obviously they get sets, they get slots at the comedy clubs,
yeah.
And they possibly can work their set into a corporate if they want to, or they can do a one-man show. So you kind of want to say to them, well done that you've won this competition. You're now actually in the same pool as us.
Mm. the problem sadly. With it, well, not problem. The thing is like what I don't think is happening enough in South Africa, and I say this like as a sort of, you know, sort of over metaphor for the industry, but if you're good, you can obviously get to the top. Look, we've got the Trevor Noahs and that's happened. But for some of the other talented people, the waiting game they're having to go through is a little slow. But at the same respect, you want the people to say to someone, listen, you're good. And you need to lift your game now and write. You need a 30-minute set a year into your career, not 3 months in. I mean, not 3 years in, nice. And half a show. And six. You actually need to lift your game. If you're a great new act in this country right now and you're not doing a one-man show, even as a brand new act, why not?
Yeah. So you know, are you going to be at talking about one-man one. Acts? Are you going to be doing a one-man at the Clarence Comedy Festival?
Yes.
Are you? Okay, good.
But like some of the events, no, not necessarily. Sorry, that's not true. That's not true. I will have a one-man show ready around that time, whether I match.
Whether you do it or
doing not. That show or what, whatever the lineup and whatever it involves. I'm open to whatever's happening. But I will have a new show by that time.
Well, today we were going to have Dan Frigoletti on, and he does a podcast called Porn Stars Are People Too. And I think you're mm-hmm. launching your podcast, which is a non-porn related. But what is yours called?
Mine's called Rants with Pants.
See, so yours is opposite of porn. Yeah. You've got pants on.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
So this is what I can just briefly mention this. I have, over the years, I've done a lot of podcasts and a lot of audio recordings and digital recordings. But it's only been in the last couple of months that I really could say that I've got full, proper, unlimited, unrestricted internet access at any time. And I found a bunch of vintage podcasts, as I'm calling them, that never got released. And there's some awesome.
Well, you said, you did them back in 2002.
No, 2011.
Okay, so that's not I too have. Vintage.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, but in the kind of, in the podcasting sense, that's when I was doing a show with Rob and Fear and the Drive Time Robbery thing. But we were producing a radio show as if the digital format was still FM. Do you know what I mean? It's like, hey, almost like the traffic's bad outside.
Okay. So it wasn't like that podcast going, format where you can relax and talk relatively.
No, and it was. There was no go back to it at your leisure. It was. Did you hear what he just said? No? Well, you missed. So I re-released those and I put them out yesterday and my iTunes is up and running and geez, it's such a bore like getting these things online because, you know.
I got phoned by Google this morning.
All right?
Because my computer doesn't recognize Google, so they phoned me. So it says they're Washington, D.C. I'm like, who's ever got phoned by Google? But I think it's a machine. I'm not sure if it was a human.
Sure. Probably some very advanced.
But I was searching AI. For 80s porn music, so that's why
good.
They phoned me. Because of
the voice command, they expect you to be of a certain age. Make it easier. Just an old person. Call them.
Exactly. So now we've got 1 minute left. You Rants with Pants is your podcast, and we'll support anyone that's doing pods. We've got it. It's about time. And then also, I heard in your voice when you said, I had a lot of stuff backlogged and whatever, and it's about time I got off my ass and did it. Are you also feeling a bit of a pinch? Is there a bit of a slowdown in the comedy gigs?
Well, I personally chose to sort of remove myself from circuit for a while.
Okay.
And I actively chose not to do National Arts Festival as such. And I didn't have the budget to get to... Oh, fuck, I just set my alarm off. I didn't have the...
Your alarm. You set your alarm off.
Maybe you're being... Maybe you're robbing yourself. Because you did mention you have a lot of equipment now. You know, I finally have a lot of equipment here.
Time for an insurance claim.
As I said, I've got a full camera video production system. I love my photography. I like telling stories more than I like going on stage. And to write the show that I want to put together is probably going to come from an audience who enjoy my podcast and my style. Because I'm not going to go do pop comedy. I'm going to go and do whoever the fuck I am. I don't really know. But
well, I'll
not,
tell you, myself and a good friend of yours, we were chatting about you the other day because we do that. And I mentioned, I just want Martin to play by the rules for like 3 days in the comedy sense. Just play by the rules. Don't don't do anything other than what the rules are. And then, because you're a great comic and you can't not have you on stage, but just do the rules and walk off stage and go, thanks, man, and get your money and fuck off. Because, you know, it's easy to rant and it's easy to have the moan, but you're a great comic and just the rules are there. Obviously, you know, we can break them, but in terms of corporate, geez, there's no fucking way to pretend that we are in charge.
But it's something unusual I realized the other day, and it wasn't actually about doing corporate. I came up with this somewhat motivational thing that was based on just actually feeling happy about life, right?
Okay.
And it's something we all shared. And then I realized, oh, fuck, the cynical side of me would put this in a show and ended up with, and that, folks, is how you increase your sales. You know what I mean? And suddenly, you're now like, never mind standing on a stage. You're like, you don't have to be funny. You can just be entertaining. And suddenly, you're making even more money than you would, you know, learn a card
trick. The speaking circuit makes way more money than the comedy circuit. I can tell you
from last night. Yeah, and the pressure to be nice rather than a middle-aged crude man telling wank stories to you.
Hey, so Dave. Got in there.
But Martin, I have to go now because when you're in Joburg, you must come talk to us. They're telling us we're done. But that was
okay.
Thank you. I appreciate there are gigs in Cape Town. I want to get them from you next time. We'll get proper gigs. So, but as you said, there's one opening every week.
Yeah, indeed. It's going great down here. They've got enthusiasm and they need support.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Martin. Cheers, bro.
Have a good one.
Okay, plug that in there. That was Martin Evans. All right, so we've got a kind of Cape Town vibe.
Yeah,
my hand. Everything, it seemed, was all right.
And that is a record.
Get out of that groove and you've had it.
Domingo.
That's production value.
So we want to say goodbye to our people. When does this podcast end, Ryan?
That's a tricky question. Now.
Yeah.
Just now.
So thanks for listening, because this has been interesting. We spoke to a guest that wasn't here.
Yeah,
we heard a voice note from a guest that couldn't make it.
Yeah,
we phoned a person that was, I think, saved the podcast.
Yeah,
Martin Evans saved this thing.
Yeah.
You did very well because you asked questions of me, and I feel proud that I feel like a dad.
You are a dad.
Oh yeah, but I get called Uncle Dave, and that's just creepy. I didn't give you a sweet. The sex show has been pre-recorded today, which is kind of a letdown. It's almost like.
There's no muffins now. There's no cupcakes.
Because that's right. Jonty brings cupcakes. So cheers, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
This is CliffCentral.com.